All right, I'd like to introduce the first speaker, Garrett H. from Monday Night Meditation Group of NA in the Beaver Valley. Beaver.
Whoa, I'm Garrett, I'm an addict. I think the other guy was, we agreed he was going to speak first, so kind of threw me for a loop here, but anyway. Yeah, I don't know that I've ever got asked to speak on something I really don't know what the hell I'm supposed to speak about, a men's rap. I really don't understand, like, the whole concept of it, but I'm going to do my best. I've reached out to some predecessors, asked them, like, their experience with it. There's a lot of differing opinions on it, but the only thing that came to my mind is I was out with my girlfriend 2 weeks ago. We were doing some backpacking, and we were talking, she's in recovery as well, we were talking about the IP, Another Look. There's that one line in there, like, many of us don't know what addiction is, but we know what it isn't, you know? It's kind of how I feel about, like, what you want to call being a man. I really don't know, man. I guess that's different for every one of us sitting around this campfire. Like, I don't know what your version of being a man is versus mine, but, like, I kind of know what it isn't at this point, you know? I don't think I'm going to tell anything too crazy when I talk about, like, active addiction. Like, it was do whatever I had to do to get high, you know? It wasn't the... really didn't care if you thought I was a man. I wasn't trying to be a tough guy. I wasn't the kind of addict I was. I wasn't like a stick-up dude. I was like the slimy, slide in the back door, steal your purse, help you look for it kind of guy. That was just my thing. It wasn't so then I get clean, and when I got clean, I was married at the time. I had two daughters, and I come off like the worst run of my entire using. I hadn't seen my kids in about 9 months. I hadn't seen my wife in about 9 months. I was just gone. I was just out there, and so when I got clean, it was a real humbling experience, you know what I mean? Like, to have to go to meetings and ask other men for help. To ask other men, how do I parent these kids? I don't know what the hell. My parenting used to be literally put on, like, the TV and just throw, like, a bunch of snacks in front of them and just get high. Like, I didn't know anything else. Like, I didn't know how else to show them love. I didn't know how to be present in the moment with them in any way, shape, or form. It was just, please don't fuck up my getting high right now. That was it. So, you know, I get clean, and it's like, it was humbling in many ways, because I wasn't allowed to move back into the house. I was allowed to literally sleep in the garage. You know what I mean? Like, that was my move. Like, you can sleep in the garage, because really she needed my help to babysit the kids while she worked. You know what I mean? So I slept in the garage for about the first 6 months of my recovery. I would go to meetings. I would come home. I'd play with my kids. Once they went to bed, I'd go back out into the garage and sleep there. I'd read my basic text in my garage. And eventually I was allowed to move back in, sleep on the couch. And then we tried to make the marriage work. And it's just a constant crushing of the ego, which is a good thing for me. That I remember vividly sitting there. I had about a year and a half clean. And she pulled up this picture on Facebook. It was a couple that had been married for like 70 years or something, right? Happily married for 70 years, and she, like, showed it to me. She said something like, you think this will be us? And it just came out of me like, no, that's not going to be us. No. And she's like, good, because I don't feel the same way either. And we just got a divorce, like, a week later. It was, like, the codependency that went on between us, and, you know, like, I was that new addict and never understood how people didn't go to meetings all day, every day. First year of my life, like, I just went to a meeting every day. That's all I had to do, just go to a meeting. Take my kids with me, just go to meetings. That's all I had to do. I had no concept of how to, like, you know, I hate to use that term, be a man. Like I said, that's just interpretive to each one of us, but I would go to meetings and I hear people say, like, you know, life is showing up, I can't get those many meetings. I go to maybe 2 or 3 meetings a week. I'd be like, man, you're a sucker, dude. I'm never not going to go to a meeting every day. And it's like, how couldn't you? Like, it's just the greatest thing ever. Like, I'm meeting people that have clean time. This is cool. We're interacting. We're going out to eat. You guys, I think you might like me. I'm not sure yet. You know, my insecurities are really big, but, like, and then finally, man, I was a registered nurse for many years. Like, that's what, I'm not going to get into that story, but I had a good job. We had a nice house, and then heroin took over, and I'm homeless, right? So that's a whole separate thing, but it was real humbling for me to go and get a job at Toys R Us in the warehouse building bikes for, like, minimum wage. That was the first job I had clean. But I was never more proud of a paycheck I had in my life. You know what I mean? I never was more proud of, like, that paycheck was like $148, and I was like, yes. I would give it to her, and that would pay like half a bill or something, but it was mine, man. Like, it's like it was something about that. And like, I guess my process of what I feel like, I feel like I'm a man today. I feel like I can express myself. I can be vulnerable with you guys. I can cry. I can tell you the truth. I can hear the truth, you know, and I'm not going to get all butthurt about it like I know a lot of people do. I mean, I got a sponsor who will just hit me with the truth like a fucking left hook. If I'm doing some shit that he doesn't think is like what we do here, he'll let me know. And like, I'm not going to say it was always like that. There was many times I was like, how dare you talk to me like that? You know what I mean? Like, it would hurt my feelings deeply. But if I take the moment to like not react and listen to what he had to say and take a look at it, there's always some truth in it. There's always some truth in it. And like, that's, I see a lot of people that struggle with that. So it took a lot of me going to meetings, finally getting with some guys that also had children, also had wives. And like, tell you what, man, getting that divorce and not seeing my kids for, I moved out to a whole new area in NA, and not seeing my kids every day was probably the most painful experience I've had clean, if that makes any sense. Like, I got clean, I didn't see my kids, I get clean, I'm with them every day for like a year and a half, every day, we're doing stuff, we're going to the park, I'm finally able to be the dad that's at the park with no cell phone, just playing with my kids, being in their lives, and that, for me to like up and go somewhere else, you know, 40 minutes away, and not see them every day was like, and I probably would have never shared this before, you know, but I used to lay on my, I have a pit bull who's like, I swear to God, is like my soul animal. She comforts me in like ways, like, I would lay on the floor in my new place and cry like a baby, like in a fetal position, like I miss my kids that bad. Like, I know I don't want to get high. I know I don't know what to do. So I would go to meetings and just share that shit. Like, man, I miss my kids like crazy. I don't miss my ex-wife. I don't miss the marriage. I don't miss the happy marriage life we were supposed to be having, because it was miserable. But I miss my kids like you wouldn't believe, man. And it took me finding some men in recovery to like, dude, and I get my kids every weekend, every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I get my girls. And it would take me like, I found some dudes to be like, just bring your kids over to my house, we'll hang out, we'll go to meetings. It was a whole thing, man. I had to like humble myself enough to know that I don't know how to be a fucking father. I don't know how to be a father. You're asking me like, here's these precious little babies, take care of them, bring them back to me on Monday. I knew how to order a pizza, put on a movie from the Red Box, and just sit there and like hope they didn't need anything. That was my move, like, please don't ask me to do anything because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. And I consider myself a fairly intelligent guy, you know what I mean? I try, but it was just, I felt like a failure because I had these expectations of what a father should be. And it got easier, man. It got easier over time. I kept reaching out. I kept asking people for help. I kept asking for suggestions. Like, I had guys that would give me a book on fatherhood. I'd read that. It's a whole thing. So it was very important to me. My relationship with my father was non-existent. So it was very important to me to be something in their lives. That, and so, like, going along, I'm going to just, you know, yeah, I'm just going to be honest when I say, like, I got a little lonely in that time frame, you know, like, needed some physical contact, and I did the dating app thing, found some women that were willing to just, let's just do this and get it over with, which was great, man. I don't suggest making that your daily routine, but I did it. And what came out of that is I got a woman pregnant. I've never shared this from the podium either, man. This is like, on the way up here, I was listening to, my girlfriend was driving, she's speaking, so a lot of times when we drive places, that's a beautiful thing, when you can ride with someone in the car for an hour and a half, don't have to say a word. I was listening to Pink Floyd's, the only CD we had in the car, so I was listening to Comfortably Numb, and what a perspective change it is on that song, man. I used to listen to that song and be like, this is the greatest, if I can only just be Comfortably Numb forever, the greatest thing. Now I listen to it now, and it just brings up all these feelings of other stuff, but I didn't know where I was going with that. I was thinking about Pink Floyd. So I guess, yeah, honestly, I was thinking, like, if anything I'm going to do today, it might sound like, it might be a jumble mess, but at the least it's going to be honest. It's just going to flow out of me. Whatever, I don't know, it might not follow a nice chronological line, but it's just going to be honest with you guys. I've never shared that with a few people. I mean, everybody knows I have a son. He's almost 3 years old now. And so I get this girl pregnant, and it was like, shit, man, I remember taking my sponsor aside in my home group, and I was like, dude, I need to talk to you. He's like, all right, cool. I was like, yeah, I got this girl pregnant. And he's like, wow. That was his response. I'm like, dude, I need some words of wisdom here, man. He's like, wow. I was like, yeah, dude. Like, because he knew my struggles, like, of how I felt about being a father and, like, being present and, like, all this shit's in my head all the time. response was, wow. And I'm like, all right, well, it's always with anything else, man. Like, I don't care how many times you've worked the steps, how many meetings you've gone to, how many dudes you sponsor. It's like, what are you doing right now in your life? How are you handling this situation? Are you applying principles to it? Are you being honest with other men about it? Are you being vulnerable, being open to suggestions or not? Like, so I got to get that ego out of the way. And that was a rough period, man. Like, I got this girl pregnant who I had zero intentions of being with in a relationship. Like, none. She knew it. I knew it. But then I started hearing stuff from, like, my mom. And, like, well, I guess you got to move in with her now. And I debated that for, like, the whole time he was pregnant. Because she had a nice little house in Cannonsburg. She had, like, the whole thing set up. Like, I could have just slid right in there. Had the happy pit. She even had a picket fence out back. I was like, the picket fence is already set up. Like, here we go. And I struggled with it, man. I prayed about it. Like, what is the right thing to do here? And I felt at the end of the day, the right thing for me to do was be the most present I could possibly be in that little dude's life. While still saving my, while still holding myself to this process, if that makes any sense. Still holding myself to, like, my girlfriend and I have a saying, we always say, fuck settling. Fuck settling for anything. You know what I mean? If it's not what you think it should, you know, if it's not what's going on in here, you don't feel it in your heart, like, you're just settling for some shit. And I don't want to ever feel like that, man. Like, I felt like if I moved in with her, I didn't love her. I didn't really even like her, honestly. I don't think she likes me. You know what I mean? It was just a dating app hookup thing. It wasn't like we had this connection. So we sat down and had a talk, and I was like, I'm not moving in with you. I'm going to be a father. So, like, you guys should have catch me on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, man. Good luck, because I have my kids every Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And, like, I struggle with that still. Like, I feel like I should do more. Maybe I should be more present. But, like, as of now, just for today, it's like I do what I can. And in the relationship with both of my children's mothers, it's been a rocky road. I beat my sponsor's ear to death about, like, when my son Bennett was born, like, it would just, every time we would talk on the phone, it was just explosion, just screaming at each other, yelling, like, fuck you, no, fuck you, no, you suck, you're a shitty dad. Just constantly. And what I realized, man, is, like, I got some truth told to me. It's like, all I can do is just maintain my side of the street. If I react to that, if I'm putting negative energy into her negative energy, it's just never gonna, it will never stop. And I did, man. And you talk about, like, a lot of times after I lash out, like, I feel like, you know, that instant ego, that adrenaline rush. Yeah, that felt good to tell her about herself. But it doesn't, man. You take yourself an hour later after, you feel like a fucking lowlife. Like, I just called the mother of my beautiful son, like, a whore, whatever. You know, I'm not going to say this on tape. Every word I can think of, I would call her. And, like, that never feels good. In the moment, it felt, you know, that little self-centered, that little ego. So, yeah, I told her, what the fuck are you doing, man? So all I could do, man, for a long time, for probably, like, the first year of his life, was not say anything. Just not say anything. Like, literally, there were times when the conversation would be like, okay, all right, bye. And I get off the phone, and it got easier and easier. And what happened was, she stopped. And then what happened was, we could communicate. What happened was, we could talk about our son. We could talk about what he needs, where he's going, what time, or this or that. It wasn't like, today, man, we send pictures back and forth of him, and, like, we talk about him, and it's not anywhere it used to be. And, like, it's like anything else in NA. I never imagined it could be cool. I never imagined it could be cool between us. Like, and I'll put it this way, man. I imagine the last month of my using that I wouldn't be alive. I'll have 8 years clean in, like, another month and a half. Like, if you tell me, like, I would have had 8 years clean from shooting dope and not seeing my kids and sticking my dick in anything that moved. Like, you kidding me? And here we are. I'm in a men's retreat. They asked me to speak in a men's rap. I'm like, all right, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to... just going to shoot it to you guys straight that anything is possible here. Like, I didn't think I'd be able to stop calling my ex-wife a bitch. Like, that's how I, like, all right, bitch, just hang up. Like, everything I said was some negative shit to her. She comes to me with relationship advice now. She calls me and, like, hey, I think I'm going to date this guy. I'm like, okay, this is awkward, but yeah, do it. You know what I mean? It's... And I'll put it this way, man. Like, I found a relationship now, and I believe this to be the ultimate thing, is, like, I realized how codependent I was in any relationship I was going into. I didn't care if it was a friend, male counterpart, female, work, I was codependent with everything. I wanted you to like me. Like, I would do anything. I would be a people pleaser. I would say what you wanted me to say, like that chameleon shit we're so good at. Like, I say this all the time. I don't like sports. But I used to know everything about the Steelers, the Penguins, the Pirates, because it made me fucking fit in with somebody, right? Excuse me, shit. I'm okay today saying, like, yeah, dude, I didn't watch a second of football last year. It's cool. We can still talk about some shit. I don't need to talk about that. You know what I mean? Like, that used to never be me. I remember I cleaned out my closet. I had all this, like, Steelers clothes and, like, Penguins jerseys. I'm like, what the fuck is this? I don't care, dude. I never liked any of this stuff. But it made me feel a part of, you know what I mean? Like, so it's like a constant shedding of that bullshit, man. But I found this relationship, and I met her, and the thing that works between us is because she works on her own stuff. Like, it's not like I don't have to tell her. She's in recovery, like I said. I don't have to tell her. I don't ever ask her, like, you going to enough meetings? Are you doing, like, she just does her thing. I do my thing. I always equate it to, like, we're both walking down this recovery path, man. I don't ever have to be on her path. She doesn't have to be on my path. We just do our thing. I was thinking the other day, she grabbed my phone. Her phone was dead. And she was like, I need to look something up for a recipe. I was like, yeah, go ahead. And she's like, what's your password thing? I was like, I don't have one. My phone's not locked. You know what I mean? Like, that's some freedom right there. She can get on my phone anytime she wants. Like, that wouldn't have always been the case. You know what I mean? I've been like, no. Here, I'll pull that up for you. Here, you can use this. Because there might be some secret messages you're not allowed to see. Like, there's nothing to hide, man. There's absolutely nothing to hide. There's nothing going on like that. But, so we're talking about a men's rap, man. Like, I heard a guy do the men's rap at the Tri-State Retreat. He touched my heart, man. He spoke from the heart. He talked about not knowing how to be a father. And he talked about how he struggles with it. And it was real and it was honest. And it really touched me. And I don't know, like, NA, when I think about it as a whole, because a lot of times, man, I can't speak for your area, but I know in, like, the area I'm from, the Beaver area, there's been a lot of people dying, a lot of people with significant amounts of clean time just giving up on this shit and going out. It baffles my mind, like, how that happens. And then I realize, like, I can see how that happens. You know what I mean? If I don't get to some meetings, like, I can start to see, like, the separation going on in my head. But, like, as a whole, man, I get caught up in looking at that. Like, these people are dying. These people, if you flip that and you look at the gratitude piece, there are so many fucking dudes that are doing this thing. You know what I mean? There's so many people that are living this process. There's so many people that are being fathers, being faithful to their women, doing things that, quote-unquote, are manly men shit. Like, listen, man, I don't know shit about being a man. I really don't. I don't know what the fuck that means. I don't know how to change anything on my car. I can change a flat tire. That's about it. I remember, like, when I got a chainsaw once, when I was, like, living the suburban life, I got a chainsaw once. I chainsawed the shit out of everything. It felt, like, real awesome. I'm just out there, like, just chainsawing shit. Like, this is manly as fuck. Just chainsawing. I'm like, eh. And then it sat in my garage for, like, the next 3 years. Like, I'm not that dude. But what I am is, like, I will sit down with you and connect with you on some spiritual level. Let's talk about what's going on. Let's feel each other out. Let's come down to love, man. Like, I love men in NA. Like, I stick with the men. Like, I've never been that dude, and I'm not going to go off on a side piece, but I've never been that guy that's going after the newcomer woman, if that makes any sense, you know? Like, service announcement on the side. I'm trying not to get into a rant, and maybe my man might take care of that for me. Just don't do it. Let the girl, the dude, whatever you're into, just let them come along the path. If it's meant to be, it'll be meant to be. But I love the dudes in NA because, like, they show me there's like the fucking variety of life here, man. There's all kinds of, there's all walks. You know, I mean, if you were to give me a snapshot 10 years ago, what my life would be like and the people I'm hanging out with now, I'd have been like, you're absolutely crazy. Like, there's no way I'm hanging out with these people. And it's, I love them to death, man. I would do anything for my friends in NA. And, like, that's also my other struggles a lot of times. And I broke through some of that shit last year at this retreat. Like, I get, like, in a comfort zone with a few, like, 3 or 4 or 5 guys that are, like, on the path here with us. And, like, I'm good. I can coast with them right now. And that's not the case. Whenever I open myself up to talking to someone from out of town, talking to some newcomer I've never met before, it's a whole new thing gets opened up to me, man. It's important for me to keep doing that. Yeah, man, I don't know what else to say about being a man. Men's rap. I love NA. I know the steps of the only way that I've ever been able to talk about any of this stuff. Like, I always, anytime I get ready to speak, I think about the first time I ever gave a lead. I think about it every time. It was in Brookline on a Saturday night. It's a big-ass meeting, and I got up to the podium. And it was I'm tall, so it's always, like, awkward when you have those little dude podiums, like, down here. Like, it's, like, right at my waist level. And I literally, like, just stood there like this and stared at the podium the whole entire time I spoke. People in the back, like, can't hear you, dude. I was just, like, shaking him, like, just like this the whole time. Just staring at the ground, like, nah, man, I'm up here to, telling you guys all kinds of shit that I didn't intend to tell anybody, you know what I mean? Like, I love NA, and, like, we were talking before this, before we came down, me and a couple of buddies, like, yeah, we were talking about, it always amazes me when I see friends that I haven't seen for a while, how instantly it just goes right into, like, comfort zone. You know what I mean? Like, we could talk about some real stuff while some ball busting's going on. Because that was my big thing for a long time, was just, let's just bust balls for the whole time we're together. Never talk about anything real, ever. Like, let's just keep that. That was my defense mechanism, that humor piece. You know what I mean? Like, if I made you laugh enough, you never had to get to know me. Yeah, I feel I'm a pretty witty dude. You know what I mean? I can make you laugh. I can. But that shit's like, that's just that defense mechanism that had to be pointed out to me as well. Like, tone down the jokes, dude. Why don't you go talk to a dude about what's really going on in your life or his life? That's not comfortable, man. That's not fun to me. You know what I mean? Like, hey, man, how's your relationship with your kids today? Like, what? But you find if you do that enough times, you'll get that connection. It'll, like, open your heart to some new stuff. And that happened last year here at that retreat, man, at this retreat. I'm going to let my man Aaron clean it up here. I love you guys. Thanks for having me up here.
I'd like to introduce the second speaker, who I guess should have been the first, but nobody let me know. Aaron Jay from the Sun Valley Historic Group from the news area.
I didn't know. I'm kind of glad that happened. Manatic Rims Aaron. So my running joke has been, like, I'm 28 years old and I live in my mother's basement, and I don't know why I got asked to do the men's rap. It was funny the first 17 times I told it, and it kind of lost its edge on me, at least. I'm glad some of you laughed, though. Yeah, I'm a lot like Garrett. I didn't know. I've never been to a men's rap. I didn't know what this was, what I was supposed to talk about. I'm kind of glad he went first. I don't know why he ever would assume I was going to rant about anything. I don't do that. I don't have a lot of the experiences that Garrett was talking about. I don't have any kids. Never been married. Like I said, I'm 28 years old. I was 23 when I got clean. I was a child. Like, mentally a child. I started using it at 13. I started using heavily at 15. I didn't know shit about responsibility. And while I was driving here and while I was sitting up there, I was thinking about, like, this topic. And I fucking hate topics because I do that. I sit there and think about it the whole time. And probably what I thought about, I'm not going to say at all. But I kept thinking about, like, a word. And the word I kept thinking of was responsibility. And Garrett kind of touched on it a lot and what he was talking about. And so I started thinking about, like, my experience with responsibility. And my experience when I first got clean was my sole responsibility was to not take anything. To show up to meetings every day for a year and some change or whatever. To call my sponsor every day. Be early at a meeting. Stay late. And just don't use. And it was real easy. My life was real easy. My first job was a minimum wage job, cutting lunch meat at a deli. I was proud of that check, too. My first car that I bought in recovery was a 1985 Delta 88. The boat. I bought it. It was cool. I thought it was the coolest fucking car. Love that car. I used to walk to that job. I used to walk like a mile and a half from my house to the Shop and Save. and I'd be early there, and I'd stay late there, and I learned that here. And the longer I've stayed here, like, the more responsibilities I've gained, and in a way, like, the harder this has gotten. And then I was thinking about what I used to think it meant to be a man, like, before I got to NA. I grew up in a house where, like, the only thing I remember my dad teaching me was never show pain, never show weakness. That was, like, his motto. Played a lot of sports, and it was, like, you never let anybody know you're hurt. Never let anybody know you got a weakness, because they'll take advantage of that. You never complain about your problems. You never... And all those thought, like, processes ever did to me were fuck me up worse. I used to, like... Not just, like, internally fuck me up, but, like, physically. I've harmed myself physically thinking that way. I have, like, permanent damage to my body from thinking that's what it meant to be a man. Playing high school sports with a blown-out knee because I'm afraid you're going to think I'm a pussy because I have to have surgery. That was my biggest fear my whole life, was you're going to think I'm a pussy. They're going to think I'm a pussy. And I still struggle with that sometimes today. I really don't want you to think I'm a bitch. Whatever that means. And that whole idea in my head, a lot of it at least, not all of it, but a lot of it has done a 180 since coming to recovery and becoming a member of NA. And, like, truly a member of NA. I belong here. And I try to, and along with that word responsibility, like, I firmly believe I have responsibility as a member of NA, and a member with a little bit of time, and a member who understands the gift that this is. Because, like Garrett said, there's a lot of people dying. And so, like, part of this for me is, like, when I'm sitting in a meeting, and I got a little bit of time clean, and some people know who I am in that room, and I'm sitting there, and I'm fucking off on my phone for 45 minutes, or I'm holding a conversation with the dude next to me, and there's a kid sitting in a corner who's in his first meeting, and he's scared fucking shitless, and he's watching me, who just said I got 5 years clean, fuck around on my phone. How's he supposed to stay here? What kind of example am I setting? There's the rant. I get irritated, and I think, like, more now than ever, that shit's important. I think it's extremely important that, like, I set a good example of what, like, an hour is. It's a fucking hour. There's this guy in my life that talks about, like, it's a fucking hour. That's it. So I'm not, like, up running around throughout the meeting. I'm not getting coffee at the halfway point. I take it to the level where, like, I've almost pissed my pants. You don't have to do that, I don't think. I'm just, I'm, like, extreme with shit. Get up and go to the bathroom if you gotta pee. But I do. I think it's important. I think, especially now, the climate around here is that, like, it's... I just shared in Charleroi the other night, and I said, it ain't a matter of, like, used to be, I'll see you when you get back. Now it's like, you probably ain't fucking coming back. Probably never gonna see you again if you leave. And then I think about how many dudes that I never even met that have been in meetings with me that came once and never came back. So, like, I truly do. I really believe that, like, as a member of NA, I have some serious responsibilities. And a member with some time clean, I have some responsibilities. The other thing that I like, firmly believe in and I get extremely irritated about is I sit in meetings and I listen to how there's 12 H&I commitments open. But there's a fucking Halloween dance next week. And I don't know, a lot of people tell me, like, you're powerless and you can't control this kind of stuff, but people keep asking me to fucking speak, and I keep talking about this stuff, so I don't know, I guess I'm not totally powerless. I think that's a problem. I think it's a problem that, like, PI struggles and that H&I struggles and that activities committees don't. I don't think there's a better way that we can help with the epidemic than to do H&I, than to do PI. If we want the public to know, we have a committee for it. And everybody seems to want the public to know, but the committee for it doesn't have any help. I think that's fucked up. There goes another one. Alright, I'm done with that. So, like I said, I don't have any kids. Never been married. I live in my mom's basement. I got a job that's kind of like mindless. I told you all about like my belief and my responsibility as a member of Narcotics Anonymous. I guess the other thing I got to talk about is like a few months back, I lost my dad in recovery. I lost both my grandmothers, and I lost my father since I've been clean. My dad was 61 years old, went in for an elective back surgery. It didn't go well. He had two more surgeries, and there was going to be like a 10-minute window where he was off of the machines that were monitoring his heart. And in that 10-minute window, he had a massive heart attack and was brain dead. That was a 3-day process of, like, a lot of hours in a hospital. The cool thing about it and, like, the gratitude piece for me is that, like, I was in the hospital there. Last time, and my dad's had health issues since I was probably 14, I used to get anxiety when I was using, when my mom would call, because I thought it was going to be the call that, like, he was dead. Because 3 times I'd gotten the massive heart attack call, we're rushing him to the emergency room. Every time he was in the hospital for things like that, I was never there. I think I showed up. He was in the hospital for a year at one point. He has leg amputated. I think I showed up twice. I think the one time I got kicked out because I was causing a scene. Trying to be a son and a man, because somebody said a nurse treated him poorly, so my idea was I'm going to go in here and treat some people poorly, and I got asked to leave. The other time I was trying to cop. I was trying to steal something. I was hoping there was going to be a bottle of something in the room with him. This last time there was nobody worried about having to kick me out, and there was nobody worried about, am I going to steal anything? I was a part of the decision to pull the plug on my dad. And you talk about like, you talk about like a surreal moment and a very hard thing to do. It's probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. The cool part about it, though, is that, like, my opinion was valued. My mother looked at me and said, what do you think? While everybody around was telling her what to do, she cut right through all of them and looked me right in the eyes and said, what do you think? And that kind of blew me away. I learned a lot about being a man in Narcotics Anonymous from, like, the guys I've surrounded myself with, you know. And I used to think I didn't learn nothing from the people I grew up with. But yesterday I was at a wedding. And I grew up in this community where everybody kind of hung out and played together. And it was almost like what you hear guys in their 40s and 50s talk about they did when they were kids. It was like that for me growing up. We played in the woods, we played sports all day till the lights came on, and then we went home, and it was like that. And I was at this wedding yesterday for one of the girls I grew up with, and I was, of course, thinking about this topic, because, you know, there was a lot of hours of knowing what I had to speak about. And I was thinking about the men in my life growing up, and a lot of them had a lot of problems. Like, this girl's dad, he's got some serious alcohol problems and, you know, pain meds and all the shit that I did that I looked up to growing up. That guy used to make sandwiches for the garbage men every day. Just like selfless shit. Would go and buy lunch meat for the garbage men. give them sandwiches every day. Because he knew these dudes like had a hard job. And I remember watching that shit, and it never registered in my mind that I picked up on those kind of things. Because I'm not saying I make sandwiches for garbage men, but I do some similar shit without thinking about it. And it's not because of me. I mean, it's definitely not who I am. I'm an extremely selfish person on a lot of levels, but like deep down, a lot of those things were instilled in me. And NA's helped to bring them out. I talk a lot of shit. I talk a lot of shit. I make fun of my friends for being hippies. The peace, love, and all that shit. I mean, I fuck with them all the time. But I know what it is. I mean, I believe in it too. I just don't word it in the same way that they do. And I don't dress in it. It's my closed-mindedness. I don't look good in 50 colors either. There's a reason I surround myself with people I surround myself with. And there's a reason they're all very different than I am. It used to be because, like, I wanted to be like them. I think a lot of it now is that, like, I don't want to veer away from what I've turned into by hanging out with them. I'm not wearing patchouli. I'm not. But I'm cool with the fact that, like, a lot of them do. I didn't used to be. Fuck is that smell? I think it was imperative that I got around the guys I got around when I got clean. All my friends are like 40-some-year-old dudes. All of them. I thought about that the other day. I'm a crotchety old man. People call me out all the time, like an old man. And I hang out with those guys because, like, that's the example that I want to be, and they're what I want to be. They're responsible members of NA and society. They're responsible, productive human beings. They're loving, caring, great fathers. They are. They're great dads. A lot of them have been like dads to me in many ways. So, yeah, I mean, I learned 90% of what I know about being a man here in NA. But I did. I thought about that yesterday, how I learned a good amount from the sick, twisted people I grew up with in my life, too. Because, like somebody said earlier, somebody was talking about, like, get above the clouds. I don't know. I'm bad with quotes, too. But he was talking about flying above clouds or something. And I think he meant, like, getting past the shit. I do better with cussing. Get past the shit. And I struggle with that a lot of times, but I think that's what I picked up on, and that's what I was thinking about yesterday. A lot of these guys that have taught me things along the way, like, I just had to get past the shit and see those values that they taught me. Yeah, I don't know, man. They told me this was a 2-hour time slot. Sorry. I think that's all I got. Thanks.